Hallelujah. Let's take our Bibles this afternoon. After a very small sharing, just a few pointers. Take out your piece of paper and pen also. Hallelujah. Let me tell you one thing that the Lord is saying. In the army of the living God, there is something that you need to understand. We know there is the vision that God has given us forth, the purpose, the plan that God has brought us forth to belong to Him. These days again, while in prayer, the Lord was again showing me that beautiful vision. Across the world, God bringing up people to stand up for His kingdom, an army rising up to glorify the name of the Lord. With that militant anointing upon them, the anointing of God, the powerful anointing resting upon them, an army to serve Jesus Christ alone. And one thing that God said about this army is this: in the army of the Lord, our commander, does not kill the wounded. The Lord our commander does not kill the wounded. In your walk with Christ, if you are wounded, the Lord does not come and kill you all. That is in the devil's army. In the army of the living God, He pours in the oil and the wine and restores you back unto life. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord does for us. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Last Friday, we were sharing on a message, more than a message, what God wants us to do. The Gospel of Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, a scripture which God has been putting forth into the heart. And I pray that the Holy Spirit might move your hearts to know this beauty of the scripture. The 5th chapter of Luke and verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Put down into the deep waters and let down the nets for a catch. I told you, if our spiritual life is like a river, and there are two banks on the other side of the river. On one side is God's promises, His provision, His blessings. And on the other side is our responsibility that we have to do. Are you with me? God has done all that He has to do for you and for me. He has given you a calling. He's paid the price for your sin. He's poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church. He's provided everything. Now it is just up to you and me to allow that grace of the Lord to work forth within our lives, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to put into action what God wants us to do. Let's open our Bibles to the St. Paul's letter to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11. I wanted to speak today on the organization of the ministry. The Lord has told us that indeed we are called to be in the army of the living God in these times. Either we can be a spectator to see what is happening, or we can be in the perfect will of God, in the perfect purpose of God. Today many people, out of their fears, out of their own
inhibitions, they are staying away and just watching what God is doing. You can either be a person like that, or you can be actively in the center of God's will, doing what God wants to do. Every time I pray, that song that we sang and the prayer that I said last time, every time I sing that song, I say, Lord, in these times when you are pouring forth your anointing, when your latter day glory is being poured forth, I do not want to miss it. I do not want to be a spectator to that. I want to be in the right, in the center of that. When the mighty move of God's Spirit is taking place across the world, I said, Lord, because of my fears, because of my lack of surrender, because of my problems, whatever it might be, because of my family, my friends, I do not want to miss out on what you want to give. I want to be right there in the center. And I pray it might be the desire of your heart that you be in the perfect will of God, right in the center of it. God told us to move forth according to the vision, the purpose that God has birthed into our hearts. We know what it is, don't we? We know that we are called to live and to die for our Lord Jesus Christ if the need be. We don't go looking about for martyrdom. We don't go looking about for persecution. When it comes, the anointing of God will take care of it. But we want to be perfected in the will of God by that complete, unconditional surrender to our Lord Jesus Christ. Then, to know that we are the army of the living God, God has got forth a plan whereby He wants to use you and me to move, to get the souls unto His kingdom. If we here in this nation of India, whom God has called, will not pray with burden for our nation to see this nation come unto Jesus Christ, who else will? Psalms 33 says, blessed is the nation whose Lord is our God. Hallelujah. How many of you would like Jesus to be the Lord over this nation? We need to do it together. Are you with me? What is this ministry for? Last Friday, I just gave you a roundup of what I was speaking on Friday. What is this ministry for? I was saying about the five groups of people who come into this ministry. The first group of people are what I called the people with the tourist anointing. With the tourist anointing. What is that tourist anointing? People who are just sightseeing, who are just visiting. People who just pass by once in a while to the ministry as if they are going in for a picnic. Sunday, nothing else to do. As well go to Joshua Generation. Are you with me? But you don't want to be involved. You don't want to do anything else but just to see and go. There's nothing wrong with that. It is often when we do things like that, right from there, God calls us. It happens like Zacchaeus. What happened to him? He climbed on that tree just to see the Lord pass by. Nothing else. He's heard a lot and he just sat on that tree to just see the Lord pass by. But the Lord stood right there and said, come forth. I'm going to come into your house and I'm going to eat with you. And your family shall be saved. So if there are any tourists here, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. The second level of people that we were speaking about that come into the ministry is what we call the petrol pump mentality believers. What do I mean by that? They are the people who treat their spiritual life like the sports car they drive or like the bike that they have. Once a week, they want to go in there for an infilling. They heard You go there, the anointing is moving there, the glory of God is moving there, your needs are met, you have an anointing that you receive from the Lord, God touches you, you are filled, you are revived, you go back with that seal. Are you with me? Praise the Lord for that people also. God will fill you and keep you filled. But no commitments, nothing else, just that. That's also perfectly okay. What I want to explain to you what the purpose of this ministry is. And if you feel the anointing of God urging you, pulling you, then take that commitment under the Lord. Are you with me? The third level are the people who come just to see and discern. Just to see and discern. Some of them, out of their real, genuine concern, maybe for the people who minister here, or maybe because the genuine concern for the others who come here, their children are going for the ministry, and we do not know what that guy is going to do. Let's see and discern if they are leading the children in the wrong way. Just to discern. Sometimes it is more than that. Sometimes they are spiritual. They have their own convictions. They have been built up in their own level of spirituality. Maybe nothing based on the Word of God. But at least they have a spirituality. And so with that, they want to draw people onto that spirituality without knowing what God has called this ministry into and everyone who comes here into. And so they are always coming there. Sometimes they give their love, their support. Why? So at least through that, maybe they can change this man who is standing there and preaching. And making to think like they think. Are you with me? If the way you think is based on the word of the Lord, I will think together with you. Hallelujah. If what you think is not based on the word of God, then you think alone. The third level of people are the one just to discern, just to see. There is absolutely no spirit of condemnation here today. This is all said in love to make you to understand the purpose for which God has called in this ministry. God has told us to launch into the deep river of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to teach you on the four stages that God takes you in the anointing. In the river of God. And God is calling us to move into the deep waters of His Spirit, where you are just surrendered, no more straining, but the flood of God's Spirit takes you through and through and through and through and through. And launching into deep in the anointing of God, God has asked us to cast out the nets to get the fish. We got a vision. That vision, if we do not act together with the grace of God to bring that vision to completion in the perfectedness of God, what will happen is that frustration will creep in. Are you with me? God can only fill in a net depending on the size of that net. If you've got a boat, the Lord will fill that boat with the fish. He will fill it to the full. If you surrender this much, God will give you that much. If you surrender completely, so much you receive. The same way calling into the deep and asking the Lord, because He's told us to cast out the nets, we need to prepare this ministry into a network in the anointing of God. I was a man who strongly believes that too much of organization and too little of organization will stop the flow of God's Spirit.
Are you with me? Too much of organization and too little of organization will stop the flow of God's Spirit. So we just have minimum. But now the Lord is telling us to go forth into a greater framework. A framework or a network that is flexible, yielded to God's Spirit, which God can yield and flex according to the way He wants. I did not believe in planning. Even when Renard Bonke's team came here and they said, a man or a ministry that is not, that fails to plan, might as well plan to fail. I never took it very seriously. But then I began to look, Lord, where do I find a scripture to put forth these plans into action? If you're calling into a planning, then it needs to be done by the power of God. It needs to be done according to the counsel of God. And so how about that planning? What is the next ministry network to be like? And then you find into the life of Paul, into the 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And the 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you with me this afternoon? The 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. This is what God's word has to say. When I planned this, did I do it lightly? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner? So in the same breath I say, yes, yes, and no, no. Paul is saying, I planned this. And when I did this, did I take it lightly? The plans that I have here, or the network that I have, or the planning that is being taken place, is being birthed in prayer. Once Finney was asked, what is the secret of the success in his ministry? And he said this. He said, I read myself full of the word of God. I read myself full of the word of God. And I pray myself hot. Hallelujah. I read myself full of the word of God. And I pray myself hot. Every plan that is taken, everything that I do to share here, it is not taken in a worldly manner because it seems like a good idea. It's come from the presence of God. I strongly believe what does not originate from the heart of God will never last. What men build, man itself will destroy. But what God builds, no one can destroy. The ministry here is not to be built by men. Every day when I come here, every time I stand before, I pray, Lord, let me yield to your Spirit more and more and more and more and more. Nothing of me, all of you, all of you. Are you with me? Everything from the heart of God to come into your heart. And then you shall stay, you shall stand. That is why when persecutions came, when problems came, I knew where the ministry was built. It's built on the word of the Lord. Heaven and earth might pass away, but the word of the Lord shall never. It's not built on me. It's not built on personalities. No. It's built surely and steadfastly on the word of God. On the anointing of God. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 38. The 5th chapter of Acts. And the 38th verse, you will find the disciples of Christ, after ministering the word of the Lord in great power and glory, there was much persecution for them. And so when the persecution came forth, this is what Gamaliel had to say to the Pharisees who came to him for counsel. He said, therefore in the present case I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. Are you with me? If the plans are from the heart of God,
will stay. And indeed the plans are from the heart of God. I wanted a little bit in due time for the church to be taught on how to receive the counsel of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is the counselor. We know the Holy Spirit is the counselor, don't we? But how do you receive His counsel? Many a time, it might be through people, it might be through circumstances, all that. But more than that, God being God, God still is in the habit of speaking to people and giving them His counsel directly. So how does a man or a woman receive the counsel of God? The 40th chapter of Isaiah. I'm not speaking on that. The 13th verse, the 40th chapter. Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed Him as His counselor? In other versions, this is the NIV, the King James version, it says a better word. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselor has taught Him? Hallelujah. Today people are in the habit of making a plan and then praying the anointing over that plan. That's not the way. They make plans for their lives. They make plans for their ministries. They think everything, they plan it out well and good, and then they pray an anointing upon that plan. That's not the way. That is as if you are giving the counsel to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, this is what I am going to do. Are you with me or not? That's not the way. He tells you His counsel, and then He gives you the option, with me or not. And then you say, Lord, I yield to you, I surrender to you, with you. Let God be God and man be man. The 4th kind of people who come to the ministry are people who have come to hear the word of the Lord, who have come to worship the Lord, who have come not only for that, that their lives, their needs might be met, but they have come that their needs being met and those words burning forth in their hearts, the anointing burning forth in their hearts, they have a deep, eager hunger or thirst to be a minister themselves, which is the call of God. And so they want to minister unto the Lord. So the word that they receive, the anointing that they receive from the Lord, they want to go forth and minister for the glory of God wherever they are. Remember this, the success of a ministry does not depend upon the man who stands on the pulpit and preaches. The success of a ministry depends upon the people who sit there on the pew. The man who comes to preach, he is not a performer, and the people who sit there are not spectators. A church to grow, a church has to know that everyone called by the Lord is called to be a minister for the glory of God. In the Acts chapter 26 and verses 16th verse, when Paul met the Lord on the way to Damascus, the Lord said, I've chosen you to be a minister. The book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7 tells us, through the great power of God working within us, we are called forth to minister. In St. Paul's letter to the Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25 tells us that again we are called to minister forth. Minister. A man or a woman who does not know he is called to minister will never have a freedom in their lives. If they are called to just receive and to just stay alive in God, what will happen in due time will be that they will end up being defensive and they will end up being lukewarm. But if you come to know your call, if you come to know
that whoever you are, wherever you are working, wherever you are staying, wherever you are studying, you are called to be a minister unto the Lord's glory. In every situation, a disciple of Christ Jesus first and then a businessman. A disciple of Christ Jesus first and then a man working in your office. A disciple of Christ Jesus first and then a child who is studying in the school. Are you with me? A call to be a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, who every one of them who believed in Christ Jesus, a holy nation unto the Lord. So there is a fourth group of people who realize that they have been called, who realize they have been called to minister unto the Lord, and who have the word coming into their hearts to minister forth. Praise God for them. But remember this, there are two ways you can minister, and I want you to ponder over this later on, and if possible write it down in your books. You can either, because next week I'll be giving you a small sheet of paper for you to fill in, you can either minister forth for the Lord because you know your call and you're called to minister forth and come here, receive the word, be filled with the word, receive the blessing, go for the minister wherever God is calling you to be. But the fifth group of people are the ones who find this ministry as if their home, as if it is their family. There are so many of them. For them it means everything. They know they have been called, they know they have been called to minister. And some of them love me as their father, some of them as their brother. Called, they know. And they like to minister forth together with the purpose, the plan that God has put forth into this ministry. And if God is quickening your heart to that, then I would ask you, next week when you come, you can say the Lord is quickening me to that. If not, there's nothing wrong. Are you with me? There is absolutely nothing wrong with these five categories of people. But for those people who feel working together with this ministry is what God is calling you into, and remember this, then I also pray over that to confirm that whether that's the call. And then you can work together with this ministry onto the network that God is putting forth into our hearts to get this nation, not only this nation, but this entire purposes that God has put forth into our hearts to go forth into the nations to preach the good news and to bring souls. You can do it anywhere you like. But if God is calling you to be together in this ministry, then do that. Are you with me? Otherwise also there is no love lost. There is absolutely no love lost. I will love you more than anything else. There is absolutely nothing wrong that you are doing. It is just that you know your call. You have that freedom at that time. Are you with me? How many of you are understanding what I am saying? Hallelujah. Are you feeling released and relaxed in the spirit? Yes. Why I want that is because the ministry is going to be enlarged by the Lord, because God has put forth that vision and He's promised us that, and I strongly believe that. And coming on to that, we read from the St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4 to highlight to you what I'm trying to tell you through this. The fourth chapter of Ephesians and verses 11 to 13. Hallelujah. Look at someone and say, I'm learning the word of God this day. And I'm going to grow in the grace of God. And I'm going to fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. The 11th chapter, 4th chapter and verses 11 onwards. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers
Why did he give that? The 12th verse. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Two things. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Equipping the saints for ministry. Now when I am called here to pastor or to be a leader in this ministry, I understand the purpose of God perfectly well in my heart. And I try to do it to the best of my ability. To equip the saints for ministry for themselves. That they can be a minister unto the Lord themselves. To equip them to the perfect plan of God. And then, to edify the body of Christ. And to edify the body of Christ. Maybe I teach. To some people it will be just edification. They receive the word of the Lord. And that's all they want. For some people they need that equipping. And I'm kind of confused whom I should equip and whom I should edify. I'm willing to do all. But I want to know that. Are you with me? That is why I'm writing it down so that network can be built. So nobody misses out on anything. If you're just coming for the edification, the Lord will use me to edify you. If you're just called to come here and if the Lord is expecting me to edify, strengthen you and equip you unto a ministry to stand strong, then I have to do that. Are you with me? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? Because they keep watch over your souls as if a man who has to give an account before God. Every time, I do not find it a privilege to minister here. I find a responsibility. There's a difference between a privilege and a responsibility. And I treat this as a responsibility because I'm responsible for God. Because the Lord will ask me, are you with me? And then the second letter of Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Can we go through this fast? Are you learning something this day? Hallelujah. Don't worry. Every one of you will receive the word of the Lord coming into your heart today. We got a couple of services today. The ministry belongs entirely to the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord in the church. Glory. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Are you with me? The bigger the group gets, the smaller it should become. There's a saying, the bigger a church becomes, the smaller it should become. What does it mean? Before, when it was just 3 people, 4 people, it was very easy for me. I could give them my undivided attention. I could just pray for them and give them the word and all that. But now that the ministry is growing, most of you, I'm not able to minister the way I was ministering before to each one of you personally, the way the Lord expects. Are you with me? And some of you might get angry, disturbed, sad, because that's not being done. I wish I had 2 more hands and 2 more legs. And some of you are praying, but only 1 mouth, Lord. He speaks too much. Whatever way. Hallelujah. So here it says, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men. So when people come here into this ministry, there is a teaching of from the word, based on the word, a relationship that God wants them to have. God has been in this city, I do not know why, so many people have been asking us for retreats here in this city, but as God has never loved me now. Usually I make sure there is at least 1 retreat every year in the city. But then, now God is not giving me that burden. God said every week you are ministering, it is like a 1 day, you are starting at 10, going on to all through the day. Again Friday night there is, every day evening there is intercession and prayers. Now what about a retreat? People should come out from that bondage also, the Lord said. A retreat mentality. Are you with me? Paul preached a message for, Peter spoke a message for how many minutes? 7 minutes and 3,000 souls were saved in the kingdom of God. And the latter day glory is supposed to be greater than the former days. Hallelujah. We should be speaking 3.5 minutes messages and 6,000 souls should be coming in today. Every week there is a ministry here. So, but there are 2 words that is used. One is evangelism. That is what usually the evangelism. For some people, the word that is used is a word called kerygma, which means going forth and giving the message of salvation so people can receive the Lord and be saved. That is why during some crusades, you will find the leader who is preaching the message. He will give a message of salvation, give an altar call, and people who want to receive the Lord will come forward and they will receive the Lord. Are you with me? It's called the kerygma. And what the Catholic Church does is called catechesis. That is to teach the people. Now, we do both here in this ministry. There are times when God will say, preach the message and get those souls here right now. And then you do that. But in a ministry, while you are being equipped and when you are wanting to be perfected into the fullness of Christ, there has got to be strong teachings and the basic foundation to be sure and strong. When you start building a house, the foundation has to be strong. The foundation has to be solid. Are you with me? So people who come into this ministry, there are some of them who come here the first time. There are some of them who are coming in, but who have never heard the basic message. And sometimes when they come here, I minister for them, the message is a little going over their heads. But thank God I do not preach to their heads, I preach to the heart. So it goes right into their hearts and over their heads. Hallelujah. So what happens? While we continue to grow, there'll be services through the week also, whereby people in this ministry who are being equipped and to whom the message has been given forth, they will be speaking to people who have been coming here to make them know the basic things. So they can also grow into maturity. The bigger the group comes, the smaller it will become into care cell groups, where each one of them will get a personal experience of the Lord, personal attention to the working of God's Spirit in their lives, and their needs can be met personally. Are you with me? The body of Christ standing together for the glory of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many of you truly understanding this? Stotram, are you happy that you are understanding this? Shall we just sing a song and worship the Lord before I come on to continue on to speak a little more on God's word?
I just want to praise you, lift my hands and say I love you. You are everything to me, and I exalt your holy name on high. I just want to praise you, lift my hands and say I love you. You are everything to me, and I exalt your holy name on high. I just want to praise you, lift my hands and say I love you. You are everything to me, and I exalt your holy name on high. I just want to praise you, lift my hands and say I love you. You praise you, praise
Spirit of India, for the glory of Jesus Christ.
glory of Jesus. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Let's sit down in the presence of the Lord. The glory of our Lord is here. Amen. How many of you felt the glory of God? Keep your hands raised up. How many of you felt the glory of God? Stotram. Hallelujah. Isn't it beautiful to worship the Lord? The Lord is still coming to touch people here. How many of you feel the touch of the Lord upon you? Hallelujah. Keep your hands raised up. Yes. Hallelujah. Some of you are still in ecstasy. That camera should be here on the face of the people. Difference that comes upon glory comes to them. Shall we have some more of the word of the Lord? Hallelujah. It is so important that when we come into knowing that the Lord has called us, and when He's called us forth into a particular purpose and a goal and given us a vision in front of us, we need to move together with the anointing of God and together with the Word of God to change the way that we think. See things through the eyes of God and through the eyes of faith. If you cannot see what God is telling you in faith, and if you cannot allow your mind to be changed by the power of God, then what will happen is God's glory will not be able to move through you. Norman Vincent Peale said, change your thinking and your future will be changed.
It is said that only about a 10% of our mind we use every day. The 90% of our mind is sleeping. For some of us, we have never used our mind at all. Psychologists say that actively your conscious mind is only used about 10% is being used. 90% is being not used at all. Remember this. When God gives you a message, He gives a message to your spirit. Remember, you are a spiritual person first, and then comes your soul, and then comes your body. When God spoke about the blessing in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23-24, that He shall sanctify you, make you blameless, healthy, the order is this: spirit, soul, and body. Many a person comes to the Lord, he comes to hear the word of God, so he can receive something in the body, something in the soul, and maybe somewhere in the spirit, if God does something, that's well and good. That's not the way. When you begin to move into the level of another that God wants us to be in, we have to remember this: God speaks to our spirit. The voice of our soul is what we call the reason. That is why we reason out things. If it is your soul that is active, the soul includes the mind, the emotions, and the will. And if your soul is active, the voice of your soul is called the reason. And you reason out things very practically. But maybe many a time not according to the perfect will of God. Use your mind, definitely. The voice of the body is called a feeling. Sometimes you feel something, sometimes you don't. It is not important. We are called to walk in the voice of the Spirit, and that is by faith, knowing that God has spoken deep within. And what God has spoken deep within our spirit needs to be put forth into our soul and meditated upon to bring fruit into your life. Are you with me? The word of the Lord is sharper than a double-edged sword, going into you, cutting into you. And then the word that has gone forth in your spirit makes you to understand that you are a spiritual being first. And then the word that has nourished your spirit, revived your spirit, will need to be meditated upon with thanksgiving. And then you shall be like a well-watered garden. Your thinking needs to be on the promise of God, on the word of the Lord. And you need to do and act according to what God has got for you. I think it was John Austin who said once, or I do not know if it was Paul Young Cho, when you say you belong to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, act like a prince. That is not arrogance, that is not pride. But that is a thanksgiving unto the glory of God for the position that you have in Christ. Are you with me? Think the way God thinks. Let not your needs, your problem be greater than God's word. When your thoughts, when your problems, when your burdens become greater than God's word, then that will influence your mind and crush the flow of God's spirit in your heart. Every problem, everything has to be under the power of God's word. Are you with me? It is said that the conclusions that we reach determines our attitude towards life. The conclusions that you reach. I could preach a message here from the heart of God, but the conclusion that you get out of that message will determine the attitude in your life. The conclusion that you reach when you come to know the call of God, if it is going to be in your own nature, on your own helplessness, on the circumstances in your life, then your attitude towards it will be of compromise and lukewarmness. But the minute you hear that God has got a vision, God has got a goal in your life, a plan for you, a plan to prosper you and to build you up, a plan to make you strong and to stand bold for the glory of God, then the attitude that you will have in life will be one that is based on that promise of the Lord. Are you with me? And it is only then you can say that I'm more than a conqueror together with Christ Jesus. That is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 to 5, we know that scripture many a time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 to 5, the word of the Lord says there to the church in Corinth, take all your thoughts captive to obey Christ Jesus. Take all your thoughts captive to obey Christ Jesus. Now, what was that church like? If you would look, sometime back I asked the pastor, if God gave you an opportunity to decide on which church you would like to pastor, whether the church in Corinth or the church at Rome or the church at Ephesus, Colossus, the church at Philippi or the church at, you know, which church would you like to pastor, which would you choose? He said, he was thinking for some time. I said one thing, I would never choose the Corinthian church. Because idol worship, immorality, all kinds of unclean in the church. I do not know how the pastor would have a hard time. But the secret is this. What St. Paul said to the church was this. Take all your thoughts captive to obey Christ Jesus. There was prostitutes. There was unclean people. Idolaters. And for them, it was important that this truth hit hard into their spirit to make them understand that the devil would try to influence their mind with negativity, with the lifestyle that they had before they were saved, with the thought pattern that they had before they were saved. And if you could get to influence your mind into a negative, into a fearful thinking, then he could take away the joy of your spiritual walk with God. Are you with me? So God's word is take all your thoughts captive. You know, it is said that 80% of the people who have headache are the people who have negative thoughts in their mind. Ulcers, 50%. Tired and dizzy all times, if their mind is always in negative thoughts, 80%. Neck pain, skin problems, gastric problems. It all has to do a lot with the thought pattern that you have. Are you with me? Not every one of it. Not at all times also. If you eat too much pork all the time, maybe you might have one. And what we think about ourselves will be what we feel about ourselves. Remember this. Take it into your heart one more time. Is your heart responding, listening to God's word? What you think determines what you feel about yourself. That is why of the 12 people that went into the promised land, 10 of them, what did they think? They felt, they saw everything looming large upon them because their thinking had to do with it. They had a poor self-image. They had so much of problems that the people in that area looked so tall and mighty, and they themselves look like grasshoppers. They said, how can we go into the promise of the Lord and get into that land? But Joshua and Caleb said, we will put our faith in the promise of the Lord, and we will think the way God wants us to think, because God has anointed us, and we will go in and take the land. Remember this. It was to Joshua that the Lord said, every place that you set your foot upon shall be yours. Remember this. Every place you and me put our feet into, if we stand on the word of the Lord, knowing our identity in Christ, we shall be the victor and not the victim. Whatever the walls might seem, how large Jericho might loom in front of you, all it will need is a shout. Are you with me? For us to change our thinking, you know what has to happen? This is more important. We all know thoughts are important. I always find these guys on the computer. Every time Shibu is there, he's always all the time on the computer. What you put into the computer is what you get back, no? Yes? If you type something in, you get that back. No? Yes? Garbage in, garbage out. You put the garbage in the computer. Garbage in, garbage out. What you put in is what you get out. Are you with me? So how to change your thinking will determine in what you're putting into your mind. And for us to put something into our mind, first we need to make sure that what comes into our mind comes through these eyes and through these ears, what we hear. That is why the Lord says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. How? When you're with worldly people, what will come on to you will all be their fears. That you, God would seem so miles far away. And one day at a time, sometimes in a while you go and look into the face of the Lord, and if you can see one, fine. Otherwise you look at a saint and come back. Remember this. Remember this. You need to make sure what you see, what you hear. If it is always going to be negativity and criticism that you're going to hear, people speaking their fears all around you, that is what will be influencing you. It is said of George Muller. You know George Muller? No? Mr. Muller's son? George Muller. You have never heard of him? A great man of faith. He was the one who by faith started an orphanage, and where they would feed about 2,000 inmates by faith. Once it is said that once the children were without food, hungry, and they had nothing, and all the orphans standing there, he had started by faith. And when the children came and stood before him, he said, he did not want to tell them that we don't have anything to give you today. So he said, take your plates, take your spoons and keep it ready, and we're going to pray. And because we believe in the Father in heaven who looks after our need, he will provide for us. And they began to pray, and the children began to thank the Lord. And when they began to pray, at that very minute, a person walked in and said, I have some food for you. I was in my house and the Lord told me to give it to you. You move with people of faith, your thinking will change. You move with people who are always negative, who are always criticizing, who are always saying out fears. You also will begin to think and act like that. It is said of one time, when George Muller was traveling from England into America by ship, the captain came running. And captain came running and said, we are going to drown. Because there's something that's happened to the ship. We are going to drown. George, will you pray for us? George said, yes. And then this captain said, okay, we'll pray together. George said, we won't pray together. You go stand there. I pray myself with the Lord. And the captain asked, why? He said, it is because of the way you think. You already told me that the ship is going to drown. I'm not going to pray with a man like that. Because the one to whom I am going to pray is the one who will get me safely across. Hallelujah. Your faith. Your thinking need to be changed. The things that you hear, the things that you see has to change. You watch MTV, VTV all time. What happens? You will have faith in them. You hear all gossip and criticism. People speaking negatives and fears. That is what will crowd your mind, creep into your soul and destroy your walk with God. Second thing, important, is that what you do with your spare time. If you need your mind to be changed, and if you come to know that you are a minister under the Lord's glory, you need to know what you're going to do with your spare time. What did David do in his spare time? David would sit there, take the harp and play. And when he would pick the harp and play, that was it. But today we got the Psalms because of that. What David did in his spare time, today we read it. for us to be spiritually nourished. What you do, you how you use your time, how you redeem the time. If it is spare time, you are not meditating on the promise of God and making yourself active for the work of God by preparing yourself. I do not know if you can think the way God wants you to think and act the way God wants you to act. I still remember there is a beautiful testimony in our own group. I remember George, what would you do? He would play, take the guitar and practice. And thought, God is using him. Are you with me? What he did, God could use. Moses, you need to pick up those drums and play it in your spare time. And we'll have a real drum system here. Sammy, you need to get a violin. Are you with me? You need to make yourself available for the Lord and use your spare time in the purposes of God, preparing yourself. That is why even you study. It is said that of all the people who have went forth on their missions, people who have at least had the degree were more mentally strong to handle the pressures that would come in a mission field. Are you with me? Everything that you do has to bring you glory for the kingdom of God, because Jesus lives in you. Thoughts. I'll just say one more thing. Remember, some people are like, let me say about this person. If you associate with negative people, I told you, you will think like that. If you speak and move around with people of faith, you will also be a man of faith. Are you with me? You will always catch that same anointing. Just like if you have a cold, an allergic cold, it can pass on with someone who is standing next to you. The same way fears, faith, everything will pass on to people around you. Are you with me? It is what happened. If you move around with pigs, you will act like a pig. Why do I say that? In the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, it is said that when the prodigal son was in the pigsty, he wanted to eat the pig's food. Why did he ever think of eating the pig's food? Because he had been in that pigsty. The things that you associate with, it has to be everything Christ-centered, Jesus-centered, and that will move you. That will make you a man of God. That will make you a woman of God. That will make you act in faith. That will give you victory in your life. So what do you need to do? This is what you need to do. Come out of your party. What party? The self-pity party. Some people are so happy with that. The self-pity party. And come out into the celebration that you have in Christ Jesus because of the victory that He's given you. And you choose to change today. Choose to change today your thoughts, your associations, what you hear, what you see, to know the perfect will of God and move in the glory of God. Choose to change today. Philippians chapter 4, we have heard the scriptures before, but Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, think about these things that are holy, honorable, that are good, that are trustworthy, that are perfect. Think about those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2 says, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now start doing it. Are you with me? And then you will walk into the glory of God. Shall we end with a small prayer today? Anybody feeling oppressed in your mind? Not now, but before, when you came in, before you came in. Anybody like to pray for your mind? Keep your hands raised up in prayer. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the authority that you've given us. We thank you for the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. The word of God is the truth. And yes, Lord, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, faith is a shield. Yes, Lord, the glory, your glory shall be a rear guard.
Yes, Lord, the renewal of the good news of His shoes. We put on the whole armor of God. We shall pray in the Spirit at all times. We support each other in prayer. Yes, Lord, we thank You for the armor of God that You have given us. So in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the sprinkling of His precious blood, I release the minds of the people here. I release the minds from negativity, from laziness, from passivity, from bondage, from sin, from uncleanness, from obsessions, from addictive thought patterns, from negative thinkings, from loose mentalities. I rebuke it. I break it. I release them in the name of the Lord Jesus. I curse every bondage that is in their minds, and I release them forth under the blessing of God. Right now I set you free in your minds. I set you free in your hearts. I set you free in your spirit. I set you free in your body. Glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. Walk in the prosperity of God. Walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. Think the thoughts of God. The same anointing that made Paul think the thoughts of God to be upon you today, to make you think the thoughts of God, to walk in the glory of God. I release you. Be free. Be free. Be free. Yeshua in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord and give a clap offering. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Undara balaba shondo na boshe kabaru balaba shondo. Oh, worship the Lord. Oh. Father, I want to thank You for this day. Thank You for every word that we heard for this time of worship. Thank You for having set our minds free, our lives free. Thank You for having given us a new beginning to walk in Your fullness and glory. Yes, Lord Jesus, we shall look to You and to You alone. May Your presence and Your power rest upon each and every one of Your people. May they walk in Your glory. May there be people who go forth outside to share Your word, to share Your love, to share Your glory with others on the streets, in their homes, O God. Yes, Lord, may they be made ministers for Thy gospel. Yes, Lord, wherever they go, their homes, their families, their towns, everything be filled with Your word, O God, upon their lives, Lord, flowing through them unto others, O God, and anointing upon their lives to do that. In Jesus' name, I thank You that You have provided that. We give You the glory and the thanks. Bless each one of them and keep them all in Your hands, O God. Yes, Lord. May they all mount up with wings like eagles and fly and soar high for Your glory. Yes, Lord. May they be kept in Your resurrection power. So may God bless and keep you all. The blessings of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sit down.
Praise the Lord. I really have to.
The book of Genesis, chapter 2. Just a few pointers. Verses 18 onwards. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So in the beginning, God wanted him to choose from the animals. That's what we call about the foreknowledge of God. Sometimes the men think that way also. Just joking. God created Adam, and then God brought the animals. And so there was the lion and the lioness, Mr. Giraffe and Mrs. Giraffe, Mr. Monkey and Mrs. Monkey, the animals all coming in pairs, and Adam was naming them all. When Adam was naming, suddenly he found his own loneliness also. So suddenly he came to know that he should also have someone. And so God asked him, He asked God, "God, I want someone to be with me." God asked him, what are you willing to sacrifice if you need someone to be with you? Are you willing to sacrifice a little portion of your head that I can give you something back? He said, no. God said, what about one hand of yours? Can I have that so I can build someone for you? He said, no, not my hand. I need my hand. God said, what about one leg? He said, no, I need that leg also. So God said, think it over. God left. Next day, God came and asked, so have you thought it over? He said, yes. What can you do, Lord, for me with a rib? And that is how Eve came. Hallelujah. You won't find in the Bible. The 21st verse. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. Some believe that was the only good sleep that a man ever had. After that, God and man has never slept. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up that flesh in its place. Why did God take one of the ribs and form man? Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. This is why, if God had taken a piece from the head and formed woman, she would have sat on the head. If God had taken a piece from his feet and brought forth woman, man would have trampled, used her like a doormat. So God chose the rib, which is the closest to the heart. Are you with me? The heart belongs to the God, but that rib is just over the heart. In other words, it is the rib that keeps the heart safe. The woman is supposed to help the man to keep his heart clean for God, for a helper. Are you with me? The woman is supposed to guard the man's heart, not to get into that man's heart. And he should love that woman because she's so close to his heart. Are you with me? But the heart belongs to the Lord, and she's supposed to guard that heart for the Lord. And today, the 24th verse after that, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The words that I used before I've given it to you, the word called leave, the word called cleave, or in other words, join, and one flesh. Unless there is a leaving, there cannot be a cleaving. And unless there is a cleaving, there cannot be oneness. Are you with me? In the New Testament, you and me, we know that we are the bride of Christ, and Jesus Christ is our bridegroom. And we are also called to do the same thing, to leave everything else, to leave sin, to leave Satan, no other masters, no other gods, nothing. And to leave that, and then to cling on to Jesus. Last week you heard Anya share on the security. God will ask you to give up your security, what you are attached to when you grow in your relationship with the Lord. What else is your security? Usually family problem starts when the woman's security begins to be her own house. Are you with me? She cannot cling on to that man. And then what happens? She'll always come by her house with this. And if it then again the problem starts. The leaving has to be there. In your relationship with the Lord, leave everything else, cling on to Jesus. And then you're one with the Lord. We're going to pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to bless them. And we're going to ask, while we sing this song, which one? Take a song, nice song. As they, Chichi and Steven, come down. Steven, come down. Come down. We're gonna have a service here. And come down. And come down and right stand there and walk down this aisle here. Give them a gap here. Hallelujah. Huh? Yeah. Danny and Nikki stay as the bridesmaid and the. Daniel and Nikki, best man, come down, take it on the camera. We sing the song, Let There Be Loud Shadow. We pray for them in a special way today, okay? While they walk down this way and we pray a blessing upon them. And those of you who are married also at this time would ask you to lift up your wife or your husband or... Where is Nikki and Tanya? Stand behind them. Go stand behind them. Hold one piece of that churidar thing. Nikki, get... What matters is the heart being right with God. Hallelujah. We sing this song very reverently and prayerfully. And those of you who are married, lift your own partners to the Lord and we pray together. Hallelujah.
Cause us, O Lord, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Yeah, one more time together.
Hallelujah.
And you may kiss the bride now.